This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling. So.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Oral. A-U-R-A-L. What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Vincent's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course, as the lacrosse player. Bismarck. No, was it Bismarck? Wasn't that
his name?
Bismarck. No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richer.
That corner man hiding in the trash can. Something's waiting there to pounce. And how you scream.
This is Halloween.
Red and black.
It's bloody green.
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine.
Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice.
Right with the moon in the dead of night.
Everybody scream. Everybody scream.
Get on down of Halloween.
I am the clown with the tearaway face.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I'm your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming to you live here on this Wednesday evening. And Scott Criscola, you know it's fall because the NHL season, puck was dropped tonight, kick things off, the Bruins and the Flyers are going at it.
Yeah.
Preseason basketball's on my other TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to switch over to Impact in a minute. Watch that big tag match as we record. But yeah, another episode here of the Place to Be podcast. How you doing?
I am well, JR, as I always am when you and I are together. Welcome to Place to Be Nation's mothership, number 338. And it's funny, though, JR. We're in October, and it still hits like 71 degrees.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful out today.
It's so weird, you know? Got jackets ready to go, my hockey jerseys. And it's like, no, still wearing short sleeves, still wearing polos to work and stuff. So it's, you know, I don't know when the switch will come. Hopefully it's not like a kick in the face, like, oh, it's 71, and then tomorrow it's, you know, 11.
No,
I'd like a fall, right. You know. So, tonight we are going back to summer of 2003.
11
and,
years ago.
I know, 11 years ago. And
you're
when
old.
All this... Well, you said we're. I'm impressed.
No, I said you are.
Oh. like where a pay-per-view is really matters to you in that aspect. But all right. We open up the steel box. I'm guessing he's in there. For tonight.
Hey, 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 what is going on here?
The usual stuff, Tubby. Tonight, inside the Vintage Vault, on episode 338 of the Mothership, we split it up. Red versus blue.
And we have red tonight.
Yes, red brand tonight. For here on the Vintage Vault, we bring you Bad Blood.
Bad Blood.
2003. So we bring back JR, a brand after, well, let's see, October 97. So we'd say, what, 5.5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And Bad Blood returns. Although now we took a D off because in October of 96 was bad.
Bad blood.
And now it's just bad blood. And of course, as we talked about, JR, at Judgment Day, the brands have split.
Yes, they have. Torn apart at the seams.
At the seams. So tonight we have the first Raw pay-per-view. And then on our next vault, we will have the first SmackDown pay-per-view.
Did want to mention too, Scott, a little teaser-ooski here.
Ah, please do.
Big news in the world of wrestling for us today because they announced the Royal Rumble confirmed last night of the SmackDown taping for Philadelphia in January, and we have some news on the Place to Be Nation's possible trip down there. So stay tuned. We'll talk about that after our break. So we'll cover those details. But yes, so here we are, torn apart. The Red Brand is up first on deck here for their solo pay-per-view debut, and a lot more card to fill. That's the first thing you kind of realize here.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, even with the lack of depth, I think it was worth trying.
Sure.
Why not? I thought the ring apron and the ropes look cool. They really tried to distinguish it as red. So
yes.
All right, give us the specifics. Where
all right. June 15th, 2003. Live from the Compaq Center in Houston, Texas. Not our last trip to the Lone Star State in 2003, JR. And this is not a new building. This is still the old Summit. The Toyota Center had not opened yet, so this is still the old Summit. And of course, we've been there, so we don't have to go through the particulars. Your attendance, 10,000, which is actually a sellout. I was reading about this today, JR. The actual capacity for Compaq Center is a little over 16,000. Of course, you know, the Rockets and the other teams there. But the way they aligned the stadium or the arena, 10,000 is a sellout, technically, according to Wikipedia today. Your buy rate, 0.75, which, not bad for brand specific. And your announcers, of course, in the back, good old JR Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler. If you notice, JR, speaking of semantics, did you notice that they switched sides of the ramp? During the dual pay-per-views, JR and King sat to the left. If you were looking up the ramp at the entrance, they were to the left. On this pay-per-view, they were over to the right side of the ramp. I believe that has something to do with that hog pen.
Oh, probably.
And we'll talk about that in a moment because there's a lot of formatics issues. As we talked about, you know, brand specific, JR, they did have some formatics issues that drew complaints from people and websites back in 2003. One had to do with filler. The other had to do with length of show, which we'll talk about as well. All right. Do we have a Sutton file?
Yes, sir, we do. And let's pull it up here. So, Bad Blood 2003, sponsored by Maxim Hair Color for Men. Get yours today.
Except for Kevin Nash.
Yes. Main event in the show.
Yes.
The song, Scott, you remember?
Oh, God.
It's strong to take on anyone. Headstrong by Trapped.
Headstrong by Trapped, another band that vanished off the pay-per-view theme.
I mean, that's one that I remember just like beating into my head hearing that.
Because they played in the main event pump montage for about six straight minutes.
I feel like this era now is like the era of memorable theme. Like, we're back to that. Like, we had some in 97, 98 a little bit. But now with all these alt-rock songs, they're all very just burnt in your skull from hearing them a million times on the build-up to these shows.
In your skull. What a way to put it. So, yes. So there you go. Trapped. Don't know what happened to them. And
yeah, let's lay the song under the whole show. World champion still Triple H, your intercontinental champion still Christian, your tag team champion still Rob Van Dam and Kane, and your women's champion is still Jazz.
Now, I guess roster wise, really not much to say since we're brand specific, right? Or did we have any moves?
Let's see. I don't see any moves. I see a couple debuts or returns. Rico left a 3-minute warning. We had a couple releases, or at least one release here. A few releases. Crash Holly was released. Had 499 matches in the promotion.
Wow.
TV record, 92, 147, and 17.
Wow, and that's with all those... you said Crash Holly. That's with all those hardcore wins, losses throughout 2000. Figuring out how I reckon that. Interesting.
Yeah, so that will be his. Of course, he would pass away a couple years later. Unfortunately, overdosed. Sad story there. As we mentioned last month, Hollywood Hogan / Mr. America had been released as well due to those problems he had with the payouts. In a piece of the Chicago Sun-Times, Hogan said that the Mr. America gimmick came under fire from comic producer Marvel Comics as they claimed it was ripped off for the comic book superhero Captain America. This added more fuel to the fire of the right to use the Hulk Hogan name due to the ownership of Marvel for the Incredible Hulk. The promotion had to edit all merchandise to say Hogan and start referencing him
and stop referencing him to Hulk Hogan. Hang on. Did Eddie also say Hogan on? Hogan was also unhappy with the payoffs and his return to Mr. America. So there you go. They've been worse.
What did he expect?
Share some light on that.
Jesus, what did he expect, though? I mean, I'm sure his payouts were good. He is Hogan, but I don't know what more he was wanting. It's insane.
Roddy Piper, of course, we talked about that. He was released due to the him running
HBO
his mouth.
Yep.
And Terry Taylor was released as an agent. So,
speaking of Terry Taylor, on a side note, JR, I didn't realize how fast he was dumped because, of course, your favorite, when you're... I want to hear VKM sing that. It's funny because Terry Taylor is part of one of your favorite pay-per-view moments in the history of the universe at the King of the Ring in 1993. Mm-hmm. You know, with our favorite family.
Wesley!
Hulk Hogan all the way.
Hulk Hogan all the way.
Oh, yeah.
You like Bret Hart? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got Bret on the, he's on the event center right now. I haven't thrown the Dungeon Collection in yet, so. But then I didn't realize they got rid of him because in October, he was at Halloween Havoc as the special enforcer for the Flair Rude International Championship match. I didn't realize he left the company in 93. News totally went over my head. Did you know that? I didn't realize he left the company that same year.
Terry Taylor left in 93?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He had a really short run. Yeah, he came back in like late 92 and he was gone by late summer 93.
He must have been because that was June and this was October. But anyway, you said Terry Taylor. So
I did. Raw passed 524 episodes. Heat 251. TNA passed their 49th pay-per-view. International Heat on this night saw Christopher Nowinski defeat Maven. Lance Cade defeated Chad Collier. Val Venus defeated the Black Nature Boy, Scoot Andrews. Test defeated Spike Dudley.
Black Nature Boy.
On the Bad Blood pay-per-view Heat, Ivory defeated Molly Holly. Now, Scott, there was a UK pay-per-view before this.
Yes,
six
it was.
Days prior.
The last one.
Insurrection. Which is what you had when you saw the main event on this show. Jazz defeated Trish Stratus. Christian defeated Booker T. RVD and Kane beat La Resistance. The Dudley Boys defeated Christopher Nowinski, Roddy Mack, and Teddy Long. Scott Steiner defeated Test with Val Venus. It's basically the same fucking card as we're going to talk about here. And Triple H defeated Kevin Nash in a street fight.
And by the way, that stipulation was added mid-show because... Jericho did a highlight reel on that show with Bischoff, and then Austin came out and then said that match is going to be a street fight. So it wasn't a street fight when it was announced, but it was added during the show because that clip is on, I don't know which of his DVD, which is Stone Cold's DVD. I think it's the 4-disc. And it was added that night. And that is the last official UK pay-per-view that WWE would do to this point, which kind of sucks. And hopefully with the network, they could think outside the box.
Put your hand in the box.
And start doing them again.
Burn rubbing your fucking face. One thing...
Jacked up bitch. When you said Chad, you were like, I thought you were going to say, defeated Chad Campbell! That's the way you said it. It's really funny. Yeah, he does wish.
I'll steal one star, even though I was in the match. A lot of focus on the GM battle on the show. We'll talk about it as we go. And I like where they... Like, I like the dual GM thing, but I hate the dual GM feud.
Yes.
Like, way too much attention paid to it, but we'll cover that. So what is our opening match, sir?
Our opening match is a little tag affair pitting the Dudleys, Bubba Ray and D-Von, taking on the team of guys you mentioned at the Insurrection pay-per-view. One guy wrestled on the International Heat, and that was Chris Nowinski and his partner Rodney Mack, of course, part of Thuggin' and Buggin'. There was a little... I kind of dug the backstory on this. Give us what that is, JR, because as they were talking about it on the show today when I was watching it, I kind of liked the little infiltration here. But give us the background.
Lots of infiltration going down. So to continue building heat, Rodney Mack and Teddy Long began issuing a white boy challenge where Mack would issue an open challenge to any white competitor on the roster. On the 519 Raw, he defeated Spike Dudley, and a week later he took out Bubba Ray Dudley with an assist from his buddy Chris Nowinski. Despite the differences in skin color, Nowinski and Mack had similar outlooks on the rest of their peers, and Nowinski was welcomed into Long's enterprises, Thuggin' and Buggin'. Finally, on the 6-9 Raw, Mack picked up another win, this time over D-Von. Before the pay-per-view on Sunday Night Heat, Nowinski, Mack, and Long confronted D-Von and told him they believed he was being discriminated against with his own family. Long offered D-Von a spot in his stable, and Nowinski left D-Von to ponder the question, "Why do you, sir, always have to get that table?" And then they asked if he liked Big Dick. Chris Nowinski's wearing a face mask due to recent injury he had for a broken nose. Despite being quite talented on the mic and a solid worker in the ring, Nowinski was injury-prone. A week after the show, he suffered a serious concussion at a house show in Hartford, Connecticut. He kept wrestling, but a few weeks later, the post-concussion syndrome symptoms drove him to the sidelines. He rested and waited, but a year went by and his symptoms remained, forcing him to officially retire. Nowinski remained a spokesman for WWE and would eventually become a pioneer in studying the effects of concussions on the brain of athletes. Co-founded the Sports Legacy Institute in 2007 to aid his research and mission to add safety and precautions to the contact sports world. And Nowinski, Chris Scott, years,
I didn't go to Harvard.
Years ahead of, well, you went to the Harvard of Connecticut.
Of course I did, duh. You went to the Harvard of Massachusetts.
Yep. He went to, he was ahead of his time with this. Very ahead of his time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, talk about now the NFL.
Right, all the concussion stuff. And he's still at the forefront. Yeah. He'll still show up on ESPN radio and whatnot for interviews to talk about concussions. So.
Yep. And he didn't, I don't remember him like going against WWE for anything or suing them or anything. I think he wanted to work with them. At least he took the high road instead of, you know, looking for a free paycheck. And he's doing wonders now. I've seen him on ESPN. I've seen him on Fox Sports. I've seen him on... he's done interviews on Bleacher Report. I mean, he's been everywhere. Even I think he's been on Deadspin too.
Yeah, yep.
So he's been everywhere. So good for him. This match is sadly not as good as Chris Nowinski's Enterprises. It's not very good.
Thugging and bugging.
Yeah, they're thugging and bugging around the ring, but they're really not complete. I feel like there's some sloppy moves. Some were incomplete. It just was a mess.
The Dullies are back to being faces again. Done with the blackmail stuff.
Yep.
I like the storyline, though. Teddy trying to appeal to Devon's black pride about the tables. And like you said, Teddy building a nice little stable. I like that Nowinski was involved. Of course, the concussion and broken nose issues. Crowd was very hot for the Dullies, and Nowinski seemed a little lost in the ring. Maybe he already had some concussion issues. Because
maybe he was like bugging himself.
He was always bouncing and landing like the wrong way. Like, a good character and speaker, just lanky and all over the place in the ring. Like, he never seemed to really... Just be smooth. He probably would have been best used as a mouthpiece, honestly. He's a really smart guy, really good talker, but just a little weird in the ring. Pretty much all Dudley's on offense. Teddy gets in Devon's head about the table request. Devon shakes it off. Things break down. And Nowinski actually gets the win with the face guard, hits him in the face with it. Sloppy match, but the crowd was hot. Interesting enough story. Pretty much no offense for Nowinski and Mac, but they get the win in a fine opener. So. What did you think of the Dudley's losing again here? I feel like they never win a match nowadays.
Yeah, I just think they're worn out. I mean, they don't have that sizzle anymore, and it's I mean maybe they thought there was some future to this to thugging and bugging and to the faction that Teddy was building, and maybe that's why. But I there was just no shine on the Dudley's anymore. It's very dull now, but there was a point in the match where Devon. Like, you know, Bubba Ray said, Devon, get the tables, and he kind of just looked at him. So I dug that. Like I had said before, I agree with you that the build and the storyline was, you know, very cerebral and very, you know, pretty well put together, but you're just dealing with a bunch of guys who, you know, didn't have any chemistry and the matches were sloppy as hell. So I think that's the bad part of it. But the good part is that, you know, I don't have anything against Rodney Mack. He's a serviceable in-ring guy, nothing earth-shattering, but he's okay. Nowinski definitely, though, was definitely, you know,
not great.
Somewhat punch drunk.
Yeah, he was.
I don't want to say he was like a total disaster.
But he just didn't seem like they really had a bump. Like he would fall to the wrong side. Like they'd hit him, and his natural way would be like to bump backwards, and he'd like turn and land on his left side. He just seemed awkward in the ring.
Yeah,
and I was just surprised that they won the match, and they effectively got squashed. Almost the second show in a row. Remember that happened with La Resistance at our last show.
Yep,
they pretty much were made to look like dopes the whole match, and then they won. So I don't know if this is a new trend for them in tag matches. We'll see, but.
So there you go. Let's keep tabs on these match durations, JR, because and this match was a little over 7 minutes, 7:07. Because, like I mentioned earlier, there's a formatics issue that a lot of people got pissed off at, and you and I even talked about it when I was with you this weekend, and you watched the main event. You, me, and Mr. McGinn made a point of the match length, the show length. And we'll talk about that when we get to the end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is it's just a mess. And 7:07 and trapped couldn't save it, but thugging and bugging moves on. All right, now we get to the I don't know if you call it the foundation of this pay per view.
It really was the redneck triathlon. It was going to be three events between Eric Bischoff and Steve Austin, the co GMs. They've been arguing over who would get top billing, so Austin issued the challenge. And on 6-9 Raw, they spun a big wheel to determine the events. The first was a pie-eating contest. Austin explained it wouldn't be a normal pie-eating contest, and it would be a boondang-eating contest. Oh, much to the delight of Eric. The first event of the night would be a burping contest. And I thought it was pretty lame. It's clear that it's overdubbed, like really clear. Yeah. Austin wins. This whole thing is a waste of time, pointless. There's no end game. It's just like shit to let Austin be funny.
Right.
And I don't know. I thought it completely dominated the show. It should have been more of a Raw thing.
Okay, finish your point. No,
it just goes on even too long. Like, I mean, right. Even segment one here. If you're going to have the payoff segment go long, fine. But to have a freaking burping contest backstage go long. And I know Austin's over and Bischoff's a good heel, but it's like, where is it going? If they had guys they represented, like if Bischoff wanted to push so-so and Austin wanted it was behind so-and-so and they were fighting to see who would be the face of Raw instead of them fighting over which of them would be top guy. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I just feel so dominating the show.
Yeah.
And I liked Austin in this role. Like, I thought he was good and he was really trying and he was into it. It just is too much.
Yeah. So do you think, you pretty much answered the question I was going to ask you. Do you think this was pretty much their way of making sure Austin gets enough shine, enough TV time, because it is Austin, because they were a little skeptical of how to, you know, for a brand specific show that they wanted to make sure they got their share of Stone Cold and pretty much just like overdid it? Like, it was okay to have him on, but just so much of this nonsense. Instead of maybe having another match or extending the lengths of these matches, which will, again, is another part of me talking about what we'll talk about later. But, I definitely think that it was just a chance to get a lot of Austin on the show to make sure that it got the
which is fine. I mean, because they've just done one big segment.
Right.
I mean, it's fine if you want to do this. Maybe they could have like the first two on Raw and then the final one here. I don't know. They didn't need to be this much throughout the show and this long.
Mm-hmm.
For two authority figures.
I mean, yeah, this the burping thing was, Jesus, had to have been a good 12, 13 minutes.
Well, no, I don't think it was that.
It seemed like it.
We don't have to trust your time.
Seems like the burps are that long. God, this TreadNet triathlon took 7 hours.
Yes.
No, it was just a long skit. All right, next match. I hate to say this. This is terrible. Chad's going to hate all of us, but I actually kind of got into about halfway through.
Okay.
Scott Steiner. Who we hadn't seen. who we haven't seen on pay-per-view since No Way Out. Taking on...
No, we saw him last month.
Oh, that's right. He was in the tag match. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Seems so forgotten. Taking on Test, his tag team partner in that match, back at Judgment Day. Except they're taking on each other. And the stipulation was... Stacey Keibler's managerial services, quote unquote. Mm. How do we get here?
On the 519 rule, Test and Steiner lost another match to La Resistance after a mid-match collision. After the loss, the two men started arguing over Stacey with both pulling her arms. Stacey finally got fed up and walked off. A week later, Stacey announced that Test and Steiner would no longer team up, but that she would manage both. That night, Test was facing Booker T. During the match, Booker went for a baseball slide, but Test yanked Stacy in the way, and she took the brunt of the kick. That drew Steiner out to check on her, distracting Test and giving Booker the win. The next week, Stacy dumped Test, but he reminded her that she was contractually obligated to manage him. Later that night, Bischoff made a match between Steiner and Test with the pay-per-view for the pay-per-view, the winner getting Stacy's services. On 6-9, Test took out Steiner and warned Stacy about the impending result of this big pay-per-view match.
Stacy's quite hot. That's pretty much all you can really say about for that part of it. She had that weird little mini skirt with a fuzzy top or whatever. But, and I said this to you guys when I was watching this match today. Thank God the camera angle was not on the two of them when they were as the match started. What happened was, you know, Steiner's in the ring, then Test is in the ring, then Test gets pissed when she's trying to get in the ring and she's like trying to, you know, give Steiner encouragement. Test grabs her. They're outside the ring, and then Steiner attempts to do some kind of dive or something or some kind of plancha or whatever, and apparently just slips and totally misses everybody.
Yeah, that was like the highlight of the match.
But fortunately, if you remember, JR, the camera was on the other side of the ring.
Yes.
So we didn't really see. We knew it happened.
Well, and it's on one of the Botchamania things. That was like one of the infamous ones. Just a classic botch. I mean, he just slips off the apron and falls and clips Test's
knees. And then he's trying to go after Stein. He keeps slipping.
Oh my God, so good. It's just like this poor guy cannot catch a fucking break. It's like he's finally kind of into a decent storyline. He's out of the Triple H stuff. He gets his big singles match here, and he falls off the apron in the opening seconds.
Such a mess.
So yeah, Test back to being the loner heel. I think it's the best role for him. Big pop for Steiner. He finally seems to be settling in a bit. He seems more comfortable here than he was in the main event stuff. Hot start for Steiner. Test uses Stacy to turn the tide. Test pretty good as a douche heel, smacking Steiner around, doing push-ups, bad-mouthing Stacy all at the same time.
Right.
Steiner picks up some near falls until Test uses Stacy again. Steiner survives a big boot and picks up the win. Stacy's freed from Test. Sloppy brawl. I'm like you, kind of worked considering who was in it. Like, it worked that it was sloppy and heavy bombs. Nothing special, but it was okay. I mean,
yeah,
pretty much.
No, I had no
the
problem.
Show, I think by the
yeah,
end
I thought it was. I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine. It actually entertained me a little bit as it went along for what it was. But Steiner wins, and you know, we get a little Stacy, you know, crotching the rope action while Steiner just kind of stares at her in this lecherous way, and so there we go. So this storyline does not go away. It continues on, but for now, Scott Steiner has the upper hand. Okay, we go backstage, and this continues, JR. What happened? Let's try.
More of the triathlon nonsense. So Bischoff introduces Austin to a group of special ladies, a couple hot chicks for the pie-eating contest. They argue over who gets to go first, and the most absurd part of all this, Scott, let me see if you get what I'm where I'm going.
Yep.
Go ahead. I want you to guess where I'm going with the most absurd thing in this whole thing.
Is that, let's see, Austin, a group of ladies. He agrees to let Eric go first if Austin's allowed to pick the lady. And Eric agreed to the deal. That Bischoff should have known that Austin wasn't going to pick any of those women?
No.
No.
That the women are excited to be eaten out by Eric Bischoff and Steve Austin on pay-per-view.
That is quite true.
Like, they're fucking pumped about it. Like, where the fuck are these women from? Like, I never met women like this that are... You got this old grizzly-looking guy with a goatee that... I mean, I guess he's all right looking. And then you got a creepy Eric Bischoff. And they're basically saying, yeah, we're going to go down on you on TV. All right, yeah, on first, yeah. Right. Like, come on, fucking ridiculous. Oh, my God. Put the bad in bad blood.
Oh, God.
Awful. It's awful.
It is dreadful. Oh, my God. That's a good point. I don't think anybody looked at the moral fiber of it, but it's actually a very good point. All right. Let's get to what was actually a fairly good match. Next up, our first title match.
I gotta go grab this lady's titties. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I take out my penis.
I take out Val Venus. All right, first title match of the evening.
Pistol whip him.
She bring you eating bonbons, watching soap operas.
You would say that?
Okay, our first title match of the evening. The WWE Intercontinental title on the line. Your champion is Christian, who won the title at Judgment Day in that, nefariously in the Battle Royal. And taking on the guy that he nefariously beat at the end of the Battle Royal, and that was... Didn't it seem like, though, as you're going further into the song, it just seemed like every pay-per-view theme from, like, November 2000 to, like, 2004 all sounded the same? It seemed like it was either, you know, Drowning Pool or, you know, Puddle of Mud or...
Oh, yeah. I really don't miss the mid-2000s.
Yeah, there was some
kind
really
of a shit time.
There were a couple of decent albums, but some of these bands were just...
I mean, just music, just dreadful. Everything. Just everything.
Just dreadful. I mean, you know, I can't think. I mean, Kid Rock had a decent album. Well, maybe. Oh, no, he had a decent album. Cocky wasn't a bad album. But I mean, there was a couple of weird... It was just a weird stretch where there was a couple of really good bands, and then, like, everybody else sounded like Trapped, pretty much, you know. Puddle of Mud and
all of them.
Yeah, they're all just bad. Anyway, how do we get to this point, JR, since the Battle Royal?
Hulk Hogan, we got it for you, nigga.
Well, no, you're not, because he has no paydays. His paydays are bad. Mr. America, we're coming after
Butterfingers are bad. His paydays are bad. His Three Musketeers are bad. Yes. All spoiled.
All spoiled.
I am a candy, like, that is my main weakness. Like, I could go without beer. I could go without soda. I could go without whatever, you know. I could go without eating these hookers all night.
Yeah.
But
play ball and eat out those Houston hookers.
Candy is like my weakness. And
really?
Yeah,
I've known you 11 years. Strong I've never weakness. Seen you eat a piece of candy.
Well, I fight it because I don't want to. But
you drink plenty of beer.
So I went I had this presentation to do at one of our sites on Friday. Uh-huh. And they were, you know, bringing crowds in and out. And to keep everyone engaged, you know, they put snacks out and they just had baskets of like full-size candy bars.
Full size?
Reese's, Snickers.
I mean,
everything. Like, it is, and I'm up there presenting, and all I'm looking at is this freaking basket of candy. And I'm like, oh my God, I just want to take all these things. I took one Snickers in my bag for the way home. I had a Reese's, and then I ate a Butterfinger. I'm like, all right, I'm done. But it was, my God, it was just like.
Favorite?
That, Reese's is my favorite.
Oh, peanut butter cups? Everybody loves peanut butter. Who doesn't love peanut butter?
Would
you like the cups? Or if I gave you a bag of Reese's pieces?
Oh, I'll eat the pieces too, but cups. I like Skittles. I like all candy. I really do. I mean, Halloween, I am pumped for Juliana to eat all her candy. I will eat candy corn. Favorite, but...
I love candy corn. You cannot have candy corn near me.
But my wife gets angry because she puts it as like part of her decorations, and I'll skim off the top until by Halloween it's all gone.
Your money laundering candy. Oh God!
I gotta hide it now from Juliana because she sees me and then she wants one. So I'm like drug addict. Like I'm sneaking in the bathroom to tap a vein of heroin.
A&E's intervention.
I know. Like sneaking off to smuggle candy corn.
Hiding under overpasses.
Yeah, I'll destroy her bag of candy.
Oh God! So that's hilarious.
Anyway, all right. The night after Judgment Day, Christian appeared on Chris Jericho's highlight reel and debuted a new look. He had now finally Scott cut his hair.
Ugh.
Looked a lot more legitimate, I thought, immediately from it. Christian and Jericho would battle RVD and Kane, but they'd be disqualified when they set Kane up for a concerto. Before they unleashed it, Booker ran out to make the save. A week later, Booker picked up a win over Test, while Christian lost a non-title match to Booker's pal Goldust. The next week, Chris Jericho was busy running from Goldberg, so Christian stepped in to host a highlight reel and renamed it to The Peep Show. His guest was none other than The Rock. After an entertaining back and forth, Jericho made an appearance, and he and Christian beat The Rock down until Booker made the save. Booker would drop a people's elbow and convince The Rock to do a spin-a-rooney. Booker would pin Christian later that night in a tag match. And on the 6-9 Raw, Booker and Christian had a funny spin-a-rooney showdown, in which Christian would even crack up Booker with his dance moves. The contest would end in a Christian beatdown. That dance-off, I remember, and I wonder if Mark Clare remembers this, or if it's in a whiskey haze in the bowels of his memories, but we used to rewatch that segment over and over, the Spinner-Rudy contest, mm-hmm. And I remember Christian's line, who ordered the pizza with the extra peeper-Rooney, and then he did he was doing like the you can't see me thing, and into the Spinner-Rooney. It was really funny. It was also around this time, if you remember, he was doing the thing where he was, The Rock had, it's funny that they beat up The Rock here, but mm-hmm. The Rock had, like, giving Christian his blessing. Remember that Christian was on the phone with him all the time, and that's kind of when he did this conversion over to more of a proper looking Hollywoodish type Christian.
Right. No, and he kept the sideburns a little long. It was so needed for him, absolutely needed for him. And now he looked like a legitimate good upper mid carder.
Yeah, I thought so. He looked a lot better for sure. Much and new music too.
Yes,
everything. Just more legitimate. Huge upgrade. So the IC title feud continues from Judgment Day. Nice hometown pop for Booker.
Mm-hmm.
Booker gets a fast start, fired up. Low spot on Booker at this point, considering lack of depth. I thought he could have easily been a main event level guy when you look at the card. Mm. It's fine. At least he's in the title mix. But Lawler's back to being obnoxious with Booker being a criminal. Remember that nonsense from WrestleMania?
Yes.
He's back at it now.
Yep.
Cole and Taz greatly missed with this new format. Like that was the one thing that really hurt me from having to sit here through this whole Raw thing.
Yeah, they weren't as bad.
No,
I really paid attention to the commentary, and it was a little better. But
stuff like this just made me want to bash my head into the wall, and I miss Colin's ass. So good back and forth, pretty solid chemistry. Christian tries to leave with the belt, but Jack Doan threatens him that he'd have to forfeit the title, which I thought was odd booking. Christian comes back, but uses the title right away for DQ. Good smarmy heel work. Booker gets screwed at home. He needs a win at some point, but Christian needed to be legitimized here, so I was kind of fine with the finish. I thought it was a pretty good match, and the feud will continue on. Did you think Booker was being wasted in this role?
No, not at all. Not at all. Sadly, the main event is kind of cemented with certain players, present and future. So I think Booker in this upper mid-card role was perfectly fine. I got to be honest with you, though. I think Booker, if you think about it, Booker might have been better off on SmackDown. I think there would have been room for him higher up the card on SmackDown than here. But this was fine. I mean, he's feuding with it for a title. He's taking on a legit guy in Christian. He's not, you know, he's not a flunky role. And I mean, I thought it was fine. But I do think, now that I think about it, considering the roster on SmackDown, that maybe Booker would have fit better there. I think he'd have been a good babyface kind of side guy, or good, you know, to fit with Brock and the other babyfaces on SmackDown. So maybe he could have fit over there. But I was fine in this role. We needed some kind of mid-card action on this show. And
no,
this is
I think he fits
a fine match.
I guess,
but
my point, I think he'd be fine on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he should go to SmackDown. I think they're misusing him on Raw. Like, I think Raw has such a dearth of talent at the top that he still should have been up in the main event mix, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't think he's being misused in the company. Like, I want him to stay here because I think they need him more than SmackDown does.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But, I mean, the way you worded the question, I thought you were asking if he was being placed on the card, right? And what I was saying was, if you wanted him better on the card, I think he would have fit better on SmackDown. But on Raw, should he have been higher in the card? Of course he should have. Of course he should have. No doubt about it. But for the moment, the main event has some sculpted saga going on that has an end game that doesn't involve him. And does that suck? Yeah, of course it does. But, you know, that's the way that it was on the show at the time. The main event was clogged with the same, you know, cachet of five or six guys, or four or five guys, including the champion. And Booker was not in that circle. And that sucks. But I thought he was fine in this slot. But what I'm saying is if you expected him to be in a higher slot, he might have fit better on SmackDown. But I agree with you that he should be higher on this card, but he's not. I'm just saying if there was an alternative, he could have fit maybe in a higher slot on SmackDown, because they were a little low on main eventers on that side too. Mm-hmm. There's a problem with this roster. And we talked about this in the last couple of, you know, both Backlash and Judgment Day, that as much as the brand split is nice, the roster wasn't really conducive to it. And that's your problem, which makes it even more frustrating that Booker is not placed higher on the card, because he's needed. I agree with you 100%. But the main event on Raw had some weird little, you know, saga beginning to end, some story that's being told, and he's not in it at the moment. So, but it was a... But now I see them. But this was a good match, though. I like Christian a lot. This was a good turning of the corner for him, no doubt about it. But Booker definitely could be in a better slot. But this is not, I'm not offended. I'm not like, oh, Jesus, this sucks. No, he's fine. But he could be better. But right now, like I said, he's feuding for the secondary title. So that's fine. But he definitely belonged in a higher spot. Just weird the way the roster was laid out this time. So.
Very, very, very weird. So let's go back to the Redneck Triathlon. Of course, the Lecherous King is in the ring to host the pie eating contest.
Of course he is. Why wouldn't he be?
The whole thing even worse.
Worse.
Oh, we get an awesome Eric Jerkoff joke by Austin, which
yes.
feels so lame, but is also kind of pushing it with Austin, Eric Jerkoff. Long rambling in the ring. Austin changes the plan. And again, it's absurd that the women, they're sad that they're not chosen. They're like upset about it.
Oh, man.
Oh, I can't lay here and spread eagle while Eric Bischoff goes down on me in this ring. This dirty, filthy ring
like, with 15,000 stream, 10,000 perverts watching me.
So I can't get staph infection while he's going down on me. Oh, that's too bad. Real waste of time.
Midgets?
Just a waste of time. So, of course, Austin brings out Mae Young and Moolah. Bischoff tries to refuse, but Austin taunts him to doing it. Bischoff doesn't want to lose, so he caves. Mae kisses him, but Austin says he has to eat the pie. Mae hits a low blow, pulls his pants down, and pulls her pants down, gives a Bronco Buster, which is just really gross. So Bischoff's a good sport to do this shit. Could have been a lot shorter, way too long. Austin forfeits, and then gives Mae the stunner. This may have been the worst stunner of all time, and I'm including like the RSV ones. I mean, just the worst stunner.
Hey,
the worst stunner I've ever seen in my life. Adam rolling to his side in the middle of it is better than this.
Don't insult Andy. He was always good stunner.
Andy
recipient.
Took the best stunner I've ever seen.
He did a great stunner.
This, I mean, this is... I don't even know what they were thinking, how stupid it was, right? So
right.
You have an 80-year-old woman in there. and she's going to take a move. Now, it's one thing when your Bubba's carrying her through a table,
right,
or Mark Henry's splashing her. But to have a guy, that just went through domestic abuse issues less than a year ago, well publicized, he beat his wife around and she stabbed him with a fork at a restaurant.
Right.
And you have him on pay-per-view dropping an 80-year-old woman with a wrestling move. Like, what is the fucking point? Why? And then he's laughing like a jackass. I don't get it.
Wrong. Speaking of, we got to talk about that tournament.
That's what it is. Wrong across the board. Yeah. Like, and one of the, I mean, awful. And it doesn't help that it came at the end of a really stupid segment.
Yeah, very much so.
Like, I mean, can you defend it?
No. Not even going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. Not even going to touch it with Bischoff's, with Val Venus. Not touching it. Nope. Nope.
I mean,
stupid beyond belief.
Like I said, I don't know what's dumber. The pie, the girls getting...
The overdubbed burping, the women who are whores. I mean,
the women pumped to get eaten out by Bischoff. I mean, the whole thing is just absurd. And then to have an 80-year-old woman get the worst stutter. I mean, he barely touched her. Like, just awful. And then the way he gets up and, like, smiles, like, it's just, what a big joke. Like, it's just, no, it's not a joke. You idiot. You just hit your wife over the summer, and now you beat up an old woman on TV. What the hell's wrong with you? He's supposed to be a smart guy. What's he doing? Come on, Austin. Better than that.
Let's move on. Truth, I got it down. A different motive in your eyes, and now I'm out. See you later. I see your fantasy. I mean, hell, you'd rather watch the Austin Rock WrestleMania 17 build over and over again than watch this again. So you can have my way embedded in your medulla oblongata.
Medulla oblongata.
I had that in my head because watching WrestleMania 4 earlier in the week when Gorilla was trying to explain to Jesse the medulla or the whatever, the occipital protuberance. All right, let's move on. Next up, we have our next title match. Our next match is our second title match of the evening, JR. Yes, it is. The World Tag Team Championship on the line. Your champs, the aforementioned Kane and Mr. Chris Lee Burr himself. No. Rob Van Dam.
Yep.
Your champs. Taking on a team I know you kind of loved. My brother. My brother absolutely hated these fucking guys. Absolutely hated them, my brother.
La Resistance.
La Resistance. Of course, Cezanne Grenier and René Dupree. How do we get here, JR?
On the 526-year-old, Sylvain Gagné defeated that stupid piece of shit to Rob Van Dam in a flag match.
You know you sound like Frenchie Martin, and I know you don't want to, so.
And a tag team had a match here. A week later, René Dupree picked up an upset win over Kane. After the match, Steve Austin came out and verbally attacked Kane, challenging him to get motivated. Show that fire again, son. I'll beat your mama up if not. Austin even slapped him and then dropped him with a stunner when Kane refused to fight back. The next week, RVD pinned Dupree, but La Rez put the boots to RVD after, and that asshole Kane didn't even make the save. RVD was fuming. Later that night, RVD ripped into Kane backstage for leaving him hanging, brother. What you doing, man? Leaving me hanging?
Where were you, bro?
You up in the skybox with Sting and Luger?
Sting and Luger? I don't even know what I'm doing here. Yeah. I have one thought in my mind today, JR, when... Sylvain or Renee, I don't know which one was doing the French tickler.
Yes.
Where is Wetzel's Pretzels?
Wetzel's Pretzels.
And the salty cheese.
Clogged arteries. So trouble brewing for the champ, Scott. Kane having issues, confidence issues, anger issues. Austin's not helping things.
No.
See, now that was a good use of Austin, though. Like,
motivating.
Being a part in that, like trying to get his tag champs on the same page. Like, that stuff's good.
Not, yeah, you're caring about your roster women. And about your show. Absolutely.
Not laying the wood to old women.
Kane, you can have these dirty Houston whores if you want.
They love getting heated out on TV. So La Rez still kind of indie looking, but the tights are a little bit better here. No more random stringy tassels hanging off them.
Yes.
A really big match for them, though.
Yeah.
Stories whether Kane will have RVD's back. Rene Dupree's dance has to be the best dance ever in a wrestling ring. Crowd still loves RVD. Lots of King's French jokes here, as always. RVD controls early with usual offense until La Rez turns it around with a double team. Kane comes in, starts to dominate, wipes out both guys, fights off some double teams. RVD accidentally wipes out Kane with a senton to the floor, and then just go back in the ring, and La Rez sits the finisher and pins him. I mean, RVD's just, I mean, you know, we talked about how misused he was, and we had the whole big fight about him getting pinned at No Mercy 01, and the use in 02, and Triple H shitting into cereal. And then, now, and he's just a fucking jobber here. He is like the Chris Duffy of the Barry Horowitz-Chris Duffy tag team, right? He's just the... Like the Jobber of the Stars tag team, he's the jobber half of the Jobber of the Stars tag team.
Yeah, I agree. This is, I mean, obviously this is obviously a step in the direction of Kane's future. So this is just a spot for to get the belts off them to further what would happen in a couple of weeks, actually a week from the next night. At Madison Square Garden. We'll talk more about that at SummerSlam. I hate to say this. I don't want to say I like La Rez because I really don't. But they were a good, smarmy motherfucker.
No, though. I like them a lot. Like, I'm fine with them winning here.
They're typical Vince team. Evil, you know, foreign, you know.
But you don't even get a miscommunication back from Kane. I mean, Ivory just rolls to the ring, gets hit with the move, and gets pinned. Like nothing. Out of nowhere, no build to the heat to the finale. It just—I mean—just treated like straight up jobber. I mean, La Rez needed the legit win. Like that's fine. They looked a lot better here than they did at Judgment Day. And the match is nothing. RVD and Kane both looked done. La Rez become top dogs. But I mean, I thought RVD was the joke of the show. I mean, Rodney Mack looked better than he did on the show. And this is a guy that could have built a promotion around.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, it's not.
He's getting pinned by a 21-year-old on pay-per-view. You know, it's
19.
Just like, whatever he is, yeah.
Rene Dupree at 19 years old. Rene
19
Dupree.
In French is like 21 in real men's life.
Yeah. I didn't know there were any French in Argentina. Maybe there are. Yeah, according to Wikipedia, Rene Dupree was the youngest WWE superstar in history.
You could drink the wine.
To win something.
Age Festa. Yeah, just, I mean, just stupid. Just stupid use. A waste. A real waste of RVD's talents here. And what could have been a star is just now nothing. Just another guy. A jag, Scott. A big old fucking jag.
Yep. Very unfortunate. But La Resistance is your new World Tag Team Champions. And you knew when this team was put together, a mile away, that they were going to...
Oh, yeah. Especially with the split brand and the you know, multiple titles and all that.
I did like the tights, though.
Yeah, they're fine.
I hate the French flag. I do like the tights.
Like I said, I really got no beef with them
as a team
winning the titles here. Yeah, even winning the titles. Like, that's fine. Put them over. Mm-hmm. Good. But to be the job RVDL, like, he's nothing with that. At least have Kane, like, slug him back or something, you know? Like, do something. Mm-hmm. Have him bump into him. Instead, you have him hit a senton. He takes Kane out. Hey, sorry, bro. And then he goes on the ring and just gets hit with the finisher, and that's it. Just,
yeah.
The whole thing was just stupid.
So weird. All right, do we go right to the next match? Okay, good. No triathlon crap in between this. All right, next up. Houston whores.
Spread in your legs.
All right.
We got some. We got some history here, JR, with our next match.
Lots of history.
Because this goes back. To 1997, really. Chris Jericho taking on Goldberg, who we haven't seen since on pay-per-view, since beating The Rock at back at Backlash. He was not at Judgment Day, which you and I talked about was kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the kayfabe storyline and then give us the real storyline. Or
let's start with the real. Yeah, Goldberg and Chris Jericho had heat dating all the way back to 1998 in WCW. Goldberg was world champion. Jericho was carrying out a feud between the two by himself. He would challenge Goldberg each week and find different ways to humiliate him. Jericho assumed WCW was letting him build up an angle with the world title match blow-off, but for whatever reason, WCW never gave him the chance, and that lack of faith was one of the deciding factors in Jericho jumping ship. There were rumors at the time that Goldberg didn't want to feud with a wrestler perceived as being a mid-card cruiserweight, no matter how much the heat was garnering and building. And, I mean, Goldberg's pretty much confirmed that, right? And DVDs and stuff that he
pretty much
had no interest in it. He had no support from Eric Bischoff either, as he sided with Goldberg. Upon his arrival in WWE, Goldberg ended up exchanging words with Jericho backstage and a brawl broke out. Jericho hooked Goldberg in a front facelock and drove him to the ground, earning the locker room respect for taking down Goldberg and standing his ground. On the 5/12 Raw, Goldberg was the victim of an attempted hit and run as he arrived in his limo. The next week, GM Austin began interrogating wrestlers backstage to see who was behind the attack. He would unearth the culprit when he forced Lance Storm to admit he was the assailant, but also told Austin he was working for someone. Storm would not give up his partner, so his punishment was a match with Goldberg, which happened later in the night. After a quick squash, Goldberg forced Storm to drop the dime on his cohort, and Storm told him that Jericho was the mastermind. On the 5/23 Raw, Jericho officially challenged Goldberg to a match. He told Goldberg that he was jealous of Goldberg at WCW and that he still had hard feelings about being ducked by the champion. Goldberg came running out, but Jericho blinded him with pepper spray and dropped him with a spear. The next week, Jericho dumped paint all over Goldberg's car to keep egging him on. And on 6/9, Jericho put Goldberg down with a chair to get one last shot in before the pay-per-view. I liked the build here. I thought they did. I thought they made Jericho look pretty strong.
Yeah. However, I think this backstage. Well, let's talk about the match first and the build, and then I'll get to the long-term damage that this feud did.
Okay.
The match itself, I liked. I actually liked it.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was about to say, but you could also tell that Goldberg was being, well, that's another point. Go ahead, say your point, and then my other things I don't do with the match.
So all right, so I like that they use the WCW stuff in the feud, and it's Goldberg's first real feud, like not the special attraction with The Rock. Like, I kind of feel like Goldberg is back, just now he's on the roster part of the show. You can really feel Jericho's anger in the feud in the match, kind of like we talked about back at Judgment Day 02 with the cell with Triple H.
Yep.
Feels similar here. Lots of hype for this match is a big part of the Raw card, which that was one of the things I liked about the brand split. It's your third match from the top, but it's getting a lot of hype as a big piece of the puzzle.
Right.
Goldberg's pissed. He's fired up. He wrecks Jericho right off the bell. It had a legit fight feel hanging over it, too.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. It did.
Goldberg had cool black and white tights, which I liked. His aggressiveness screws him as he spears himself through the wall, and Jericho dodges his attempt there. Goldberg had dominated until that point. He got bloody and banged up shoulder. Jericho zeroes in on it. I thought Goldberg did a nice job selling. Makes a comeback with one arm. The crowd turned on Goldberg, booing during the comeback, though. Jericho works the shoulder. Good back and forth. Goldberg keeps trying to come back, and Jericho keeps cutting him off. Good focus commentary for change, too. I thought they did a really good job here, King and JR. I bash them a lot, but I thought they were really locked in for this match. Goldberg survives some good shots and works some nice counters. Goldberg hurts his shoulder with a spear and more strong selling there. Crowd was hot, I thought, which helped, too. But it did hurt a little bit because they were pretty much all backing Jericho. Goldberg uses the shoulder for a second spear, follows with the jackhammer for the win. Split crowd pop at the end. I thought it was a really good match with a nice structure and selling. The crowd was hot, and I thought it's one of Goldberg's best longer matches. I thought the selling didn't hurt his mystique at all here because Goldberg was hurt and he fought through it all and still picked up the win. So he was selling, but he never like was down and out and he never looked weak. You know, he kept fighting through the shoulder pain to get the win. I thought this was really well booked. I thought it had a good build to it. I thought it felt real, and I thought both guys did really, really well here.
Yes, the match. In a bubble, I was very entertained. I thought it was, I wouldn't say it was the best match of the night. I would say it was the number two best match of the night. It was very good. I enjoyed it a lot. All right. Now,
I think it might have been. I thought it was my match of the night.
I still think another match was better, but this was very good. This was better than the match I thought would have been the best match of the night, which we'll get to after the break. But I have a couple other outside the box questions. Number one, you talked about his tights, and now he has these like split white and black tights. Do you think they did that because they wanted to get rid of the fact that he looked like Steve too much?
I think they just wanted to mix it up a bit.
Okay. Number two.
Flavor to it.
Yeah. No, and I had no problem with it. I thought the black and white tights were cool. I had no problem with it. Number two, I have to say that now that I've heard about this now that we knew about it anyway, but about this whole backstage brawl that broke out, I think Goldberg's position in the company was fucked at that point.
Because they had the fight or because he lost the fight?
Because he lost it.
Yeah.
Not because he had it. You knew, if anybody knew the business, they knew that Jericho and him and Jericho were going to have some kind of scrape. It was inevitable. But the fact that he got taken down and the fact that, we don't know if he went in and nobody liked him. I don't think that was the case at all. I think they realized he was, his reputation preceded him as kind of a douche, but not totally. But at the same time, a guy who at the time, let's be honest, Goldberg 98 was a lot like Brock 2002. Inexperienced, young, but was told he was great, was on the fast track, and his inexperience in knowing the business, I think. Now, for Brock, it would take another, almost year before his immaturity caught up to him. But I think at this point, Goldberg's position in the company was all financial and contractual. I don't think it had anything to do with earning it. I think he went in there, and after that brawl in the back, I think he lost all of his cred. But the only reason they continued on with him because he was probably promised it when he signed his deal.
I don't know if I completely agree. I mean, I think people were probably happy that Jericho got the best of him. I'm sure. I don't think he lost all his cred. I mean, I think people knew he was still a legit tough guy. Just because you lose a fight doesn't mean you're not. I'm sure people were kind of chuckling and happy about it, but yeah, I don't think it killed him off. Like, I don't think he only won just because of that.
I think there is a little to it. But again, as fans looking at it from the other end, what do we give a crap? It didn't affect us. We were fans just wanting to be entertained. I mean, that part of it doesn't really faze us. But I'm just saying that I think he felt like an outsider to begin with, and that didn't help matters that he got schooled. Although,
I guess what I'm saying is I think he would have still – I don't think the reason they gave him the title is because they promised it, and if they hadn't, that they would have not done it because of the fight. Like, I think you're off on that.
Okay. Fair enough. It's my opinion. I just wanted to throw it out there.
Saying your opinion. Well, I am kind of saying it's wrong. But it's a fine opinion.
I'm not saying he's screwed. All I'm saying is they went along. They went through with
it. No, you're saying they wouldn't have gone along with it if he hadn't been promised, which I disagree with. I don't think him losing the fight meant anything to them. Like, I think to the guys in the back, they probably enjoyed it.
Mm.
Laughed about it, gave the internet fans something to laugh. Oh, yeah, because Jericho kicked your ass. I knew I liked him. But
I just had a feeling. I have a feeling that when that happened, a little of his.
We can't even ask Kevin anymore. How sad.
Well, he was probably gone by that point anyway.
Speaking of Kevin, we're going to talk about him in a minute after this break, sir.
Yes. So there you go. Goldberg wins with a jackhammer.
Very good match.
Match is a little under 11 minutes. The match was fine. I liked it a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Not my number one match of the night, but definitely my number two, which maybe should have been not in this. The match coming up after this probably should have been in this slot, but for some reason it wasn't. And we'll talk about it next. Let's take a break, and when we come back, two matches left. We have, of course, our main event for the World Heavyweight Championship, and then we have what many would consider a dream match that may not have delivered as dreamy as it should have. But first, a word or many. ¿Por qué?
I gotta go bang these broads. You're begging for it.
Admit it.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Parv. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and look for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick. With over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richard and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
J.J. Dillon, the leader of the Four Horsemen, and you're listening to Place to Be Podcast.
Here comes my penis. All right, PlaceToBeNation.com. Speaking of penises, Vintage Vault previewing Bad Blood 2003. Chad Campbell reviewed the main events of that, and we'll be talking about it shortly. So go read Chad's review while you listen segue. To me talk. Speaking of tiny penises of men that act like they have giant ones, Triple H battled Kevin Nash for the world title, and Chad talks about that before we do. Speaking of more penises, the Five Count had like 8 of them, breaking down their favorite intercontinental champions of all time. They ranked the top 5. Great piece. Ben Morse, as always, leads that brigade of gentlemen that talk about their favorite IC champions. Russell Sellers looking at Gone Girl. Cuts to the heart of modern relationships, media, and us. Breaking down that movie. Spoiler free, guys. So if you want to go check that out, talk about that movie in that article by Russell before you check out the movie, you will stay spoiler free. Glennie Butler had his Wednesday walk around the web, going for years and years strong. Glenn is the man. Check it out. Support him. New Bauer Show, new Seinfeld, PTBN, a series rewatch. We looked at The Dog, episode 3 of season 3. Episode is a bit of a dog, Scott, but we have a gem coming up on Friday at the library, one of the all-time greats. Russell also had his new hotness, his top comics picks for October 8th. Dan McGinn had the Raw recap, and of course, we talked to Dr. Tom Pritchard on Monday night, so check that out. Lengthy interview. Dr. Tom went through his whole career, and the good news is it's not the last you're going to hear of Dr. Tom here at PTBN. We got some things in the works, so if you like hearing him talk about his career and other stuff about wrestling, stay tuned for that. Scott, our Boston Bruins just took a 2-1 lead with a goal with about 2 minutes left in the game, so
excellent.
Hopefully that'll be enough to get the W there. Okay.
Would you like an update right now before we continue? Would you like an update on the PTBN's World Cup of TV Characters Final 4 score?
Ooh, Hachimachi. Actually, you don't even have to give it. You can give the finals because you know what? It's done, and the finals are going up this week.
Okay. Well, I just voted because I hadn't voted at home. Do my vote still count?
No.
Damn. All right. Well.
Sorry, sucker.
Your finals are Kramer and Homer. Kramer came from behind with a win over Al Bundy.
The Tannists.
And Homer totally destroyed his kid quite handily. So there you go. And then, JR, we have another tournament in the works, but we're not going to explain. We're not going to say what it is yet.
Another big one coming.
Huge. Mega.
Huge. Was the announcement that the Royal Rumble's heading to Philadelphia, born and raised. And PTBN will be there, Scott.
Yes.
We have the group we already have amassed is already huge.
Oh, yes.
Got to be a lot of fun.
Boy, what personalities.
We're headed down on Saturday, and we're going to hit up ROH Saturday night, and then we're going to head to the Rumble. We'll have some male bonding activities. At some point throughout the weekend, we'll have a PTBN meetup. So if you're listening to the show and you're a fan and you haven't reached out yet and you're going to be in Philly and you want to meet us and join us up with the crew and have some good times and good laughs, you can watch Mark Clair get hammered. You can watch...
walk around aimlessly, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you can watch the Cowboy woo the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
You can watch Andrew Flanagan hold court and all the other... D'Amato doing the...
The rumored reunion of the Pussy Posse.
Yes, holy. There'll be a reunion of the Pussy Posse.
Oh, yeah.
D'Armento in the house. You get to watch D'Amato doing the crab walk across the arena.
Yes.
So a lot of fun if you want to join
us. He owns a joint.
We have a Facebook group set up just for that trip to share logistics and formatics, as some idiots may say. So definitely join us if you're in the area and you want to come out and say hi. So just hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or email us at justinr@placetobination.com. And you can go ahead and we'll get you hooked up on the Facebook page to keep you in the loop. Scott, the Bruins have won 1-0 in the season.
Excellent.
I can't believe it's already been a year. I went to the opener a year ago.
Against, you did?
Yeah, when they raised the banner.
And, of course, we're already locked in for our...
that's right.
Already locked in for our post-Christmas soiree at the Hub.
Be a big January, sir. So
a huge January, my friend. Huge January. Very
long December and a huge January. So I'm excited about it. I'm like off for like half the month of December, so I'm looking forward to it. So anyway, semantics aside. So let's get back to our show here. But yes, join us for the Rumble. Hit us up if you want to be part of the Facebook planning sessions.
It's amazing. Back-to-back years that the Rumble has been moderately close.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Very Rogers, nice. He was... And debuted Charlie Houle.
Charlie.
He was pumped. He had everything working today. He was blowing off work left and right to help us plan this thing, so...
Ah, You'll be looking forward to seeing Charlie. It's going to be a lot of fun. Haven't seen him in that kind of, haven't hung out with him in that kind of environment. So that should be a lot of fun.
Speaking of bad environments, oh, no, that's a good environment, but bad environments. The wheel backstage spins and comes up on singing contest. Bischoff mocks Austin for being a shitty singer and gloats about himself and his impending win. And Bischoff struts off to the finals, which we'll get to in a minute. Ugh.
Dreadful. All right. Next up, in terms of the card, this was a match that everyone was salivating over, including myself. Huge match here that everyone was looking forward to seeing. And
for so long. I'm trying to meet you.
All right.
This lady's gonna lay down on her back in the ring. She seems so excited. You dirty skank.
All right. Give us the build. How'd we get to this match of future legends?
Okay, here we go. The match of future legends.
Future Hall of Famers.
The night after Judgment Day, sir, Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels had a discussion where Michaels said that Flair should continue to be the man on his own and don't ride Triple H's coattails like Scott Criscolo. That night, Flair challenged Triple H to a World Heavyweight title match, which Triple H accepted. That night in Greenville, Flair almost won the title, and after Raw went off the air, the entire roster came out and honored Flair in the ring. Triple H put the title on Flair's shoulder. He was hoisted up on Triple H's and Bubba Ray's shoulders. And the following week, both men were in the ring, and Michael said that when he was a kid, he wanted to be Ric Flair, including dyeing his hair blonde and putting tape on his face to cover over fake cuts after matches. Flair seemed honored, but later in the night, they were slated to be tag partners. Flair turned on Michaels and low-blowed him, saying that Michaels is nothing more than a Ric Flair ripoff. That night, Randy Orton returned to Raw as well. With a ski mask over his face, he jumped Kevin Nash in the back during the tag team main event. Nash would make it to the ring, but Orton would aid Triple H and Flair in beating down Nash and Michaels. A week later, Shawn came out during an Evolution promo, which was now Flair, Hunter, and Orton, and told Flair he wasn't a little boy anymore, but he was ready to take Flair out. Ric Flair said on multiple occasions that this was the match that snapped him out of the funk he had been in since the end of his WCW tenure. Due to all the browbeating from various sources in Atlanta, Flair's self-worth was in the dumps. He no longer viewed himself as a legend. Despite putting up solid work in his tenure so far, it took this match and celebration to make him realize his place in history. And Scott, it was like a light switch flipped on for him. Immediately back to being the Flair of old and his promos and everything else. You could feel it oozing from him. And it's a pretty memorable match. It was a big match, a big moment. Really the first time they did something like this. And it was kind of the linchpin of that first Ric Flair DVD set that came out around this time as well. It was one of the highlights that they included the backstage thing, if you remember.
Yes, they did. Yep, disc three. They put the they had the celebration from Greenville, South Carolina. Yep.
Yeah. So, what did you think of that match? A moment before we move on,
the Flair match.
Yes,
The Flair match. The Flair Triple H match. Is that the match you're talking about, or this match?
Yeah, the Flair Triple H match.
The Flair Triple H. I liked it a lot. I thought he was going to win the title. I thought Hunter was just going to be like, all right, what the hell? Vince probably said no, but it was really good. I think this little 3-week stretch where Flair really needed to get his chops back, both again in ring and on the mic, and he was dealing with two absolute studs, him in Triple H and Shawn, that he was, you could tell he had the swagger back. He had that thing that made him the greatest ever in the 80s. And the celebration was very nice. Everybody came out, put the belt was on him. He was drinking beer, and it was a big moment.
Banging
it was a big moment. I enjoyed it
in
a
the
lot.
Ring,
and all those damn whores. Oh, Flair would have loved those. Where's Arn and Tully?
Yeah, so a big moment. We'll talk about what almost came from that moment when we get to the main event. So a highly anticipated matchup here. Good build with Flair's confidence rebuilt. Feels like a dream match, really. First time since Michaels became a star that they're fighting. Because remember, they fought back when Michaels was in the Rockers still back in 91.
Yeah.
Chance for an epic Flair face turn, but he was probably needed more as a heel. So he dupes Michaels, sets up the match here. Big pops for both men. A good balanced start with Michaels landing the first big blow with a dive to the floor. Flair attacks the knee with a chop block Michaels with a long trip to the figure four there. Flair had it on for a while. Michaels battles back on his bum knee. Good Flair offense carry the match. Flair gets caught up top, kills the momentum. Michaels gets a figure four of his own. A few sloppy spots, not as crisp as the usual work overall. Orton shows up, eats Sweet Chin Music on the floor, which is a nice bump he took. He took it pretty square to the chin. Weird table splash. It was a great-looking spot, but not really needed. So Flair was on a table. Michaels came off the top rope and splashed him through it. It felt gratuitous, like we've talked about in a few Michaels matches since his return. Flair, classic mule kick, low blow, catches HBK and the ref. Michaels hits Sweet Chin Music, but Orton hits a chair shot and costs him the match. I thought the match was okay, but kind of disappointing. And the crowd was really into it, but it felt like more like a setup for Michaels Orton than anything on its own, which is fine. But I don't know. I feel like just a little something was missing there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what, though. Maybe the storytelling, but I thought that was fine, too. I don't know. I'm kind of perplexed myself, but I thought it was a really good match. But I thought, believe it or not, I can't believe I'm about to say this, Jericho Goldberg was better. I don't know why.
Yes. Oh, I totally agree.
Jericho maybe because we had so many high expectations going in that we're like, that was good, but why wasn't it great? I can't even figure it took me after I was watching it today, it took me a minute. I'm like, why wasn't that great? Too much heel face dynamic? Maybe it should have been, I don't know. But something wasn't totally there. The match was not trash by any stretch. And it definitely did snap Flair out of his doldrums and made him the Nature Boy again. Not that he was going to be wrestling full time anyway, but at least when he needed to get in the ring, he could be the old Nate as best as he can be for a guy in his mid 50s or whatever. For a match that probably should have been the number one match on the card, it was, in my opinion, third. But they would meet again. Just about 5 years later, and things would be a little different. But
disappointing. I mean, there's something missing about the gratuitous table bump.
Yeah, that wasn't needed. That was almost one of those. Cosmetically, you look at it and you think, well, if we do that, then maybe it'll look better.
Well, and it's that, oh, Michaels is crazy going through this bump, and oh my God, that's Ric Flair going through it. Like, I don't know. It felt like they were doing a table bump to do a table bump. I don't know why Michaels thought he had to start working this stuff into his matches all of a sudden out of nowhere. Like, I don't know why he felt like he had to become a hardcore guy. It's just odd. Like, he's done a lot of it since he's come back, and a lot of it's felt this kind of unneeded.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, the match never really felt like it kicked into gear. It felt like you're just waiting for the Orton thing, and then it happens. But I remember being really surprised at the time that Flair won. I do remember that.
That I was surprised. Well, of course, it was the interference of Randy Orton.
Right, and it was around this time, and we'll talk about it more heading towards SummerSlam, that I think it was official that Michaels was coming back full-time. I think it was around this feud here. This felt like it was going to be just a one-off match. That's why I thought Michaels was going to win. Like, okay, one more dream match before Michaels is tapering off again. Mm-hmm. And then it came out around the time that he was going to start hitting the house show circuit. So I think it might actually be September. I know it's coming soon that he decided to come back full-time. So, decent match. Again, sets up a bigger match down the line that we'll get to eventually. Now we head back to the triathlon final, Scott.
Oh, God.
This part actually wasn't too bad. I liked Bischoff lip syncing to his theme. I thought he was pretty funny when he was like kind of just snapping his fingers and like tilting his head so you couldn't see his mouth as he was trying to sing the lyrics. And then he tries to really sing his song and he's completely off key. Austin basically says, screw this. Respins for the final contest and it comes up pig pen contest fight. Austin beats down Bischoff, tosses him into the slop. Real overkill. Do we really need Austin to beat up Bischoff again? I mean, we just started No Way Out. We've seen it basically every week on Raw. It's like, do we need it again here? Way too much focus on the GM. The crowd liked this part, but it just all felt like a waste of time the whole night. There's no reason to their feud. Like I said, Austin was so much better used in the Kane stuff, and it's used to further storylines that matter. Like, this is just not a storyline that matters. They're not backing anyone. There's no feud that they're part of. They're just battling for control of the company, which is just played out, and it just felt like it was overshadowing the whole card.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt it was. And it was okay for them to be in these roles, but enough of the feuding. Just be on the show and snipe at each other, but use yourselves to put over the feuds on your show instead of putting yourselves over. That's unnecessary. And this proved it. I mean, all told, how many minutes? I'll ask you this time instead of me saying, oh, it was about 7 hours. All told, how much actual minutes do you think were spent on this triathlon?
I mean, it had to be like 25.
Yeah. 25 minutes. Maybe we'll max it out a half an hour. 30 minutes.
Yeah, probably not far off when you add it all up.
Yeah, And then we're going to talk about this last main event, this main event, and then the length of the show, which is still bonk, which is still ridiculous.
I can think about the length of something.
All right. Speaking of length. No.
PTB Nation, it is now time for the Rob Houston Memorial Hacksaw Jim Duggan update.
I got my 2x4.
It's the Vince and Kenny McMahon Jr. with their Hacksaw Jim Duggan update. June 2003, Jim Duggan was changing the oil in my fucking Beamer in my driveway. Hey, Scott Criscolo, you fucking prick. I hear you on these reaction shows with your good time pals. Will, Chris, Johnny, all you assholes ripping my pay-per-view events. You're killing my network revenue. What's up with that, Criscolo? I thought we were boys.
First off, EKM, I'm not on any of those shows.
I hear you on them, and I hear you talking shit on me, Criscolo. You think it's funny?
I think you're confused, VKM.
I hear you each and every week.
I think you have pay-per-views each and every week?
Every week I hear you.
Yes, because I'm
on this show. I re-listen to the shows and I stew over them. I hate you. I hate them. I hate you.
You hate me anyway. All right, VKM, come on. Let's be honest. All right. You have an issue with me. Lord only knows why, because Jordan Duncan hates you more. But, by the way, Jordan Duncan invents house shows. How's that sound? He's mangling your history.
All right, this is going down a path I'm not interested in. So, Criscolo, do better next time, please, when you're promoting. What? I thought Armento was dead. He's still around? Huh? I don't have the number to Bosley. You have to look it up yourself. Jesus Christ. Take that stupid polo shirt off. Rotella, you got to wear sandals, no socks. Oh, I'll never be rid of these idiots. All right, Criscolo, hey, listen, I heard you get a long trip down to Philadelphia for the Royal Rumble. I made you a playlist. You want to hear it?
I'd love to hear it, VKM.
Check it out, bitch. I should have known it from the very start. This girl will leave me with a broken heart. Now listen, people, what I'm telling you. I keep away from a run around Sue. R-E-S-P-C-T. Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-C-T. Take care of TCB. Suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me. There we are in cigarettes. Well-versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen. Gunpowder gelatine. Dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. Tons aboard. Made to wave the flag. Oh, red, white, and blue. And when the band plays, hail to the chief. Oh, they point the cannon at you, Lord. It ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no senator's husband. Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. Music loud and woman warm. I've been kicked around since I was born. Now it's all right. It's okay. You may look the other way. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on men. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive. Staying alive. And he's traded in his Chevy for a Cadillac. You ought to know by now. And I can't drive with a broken back. But at least he can polish my fenders. I'm just a gigolo. Everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance. Selling each romance. Oh, and they're saying, you're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love. Woman, you want me to give me a sign? Catch my breathing even closer behind. Do 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 do. In touch with the ground, I'm on the hunt, I'm after you. Smell like I sound, I'm lost in a crowd, and I'm hungry like the wolf. Hello? Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted, and my arms are open wide. What I got, full stock of thoughts and dreams that scatter. You put them all together, and how I can't explain. Oh yeah, well, you, you make my dreams come true. Take me to another place, take me to another land. Make me forget all that hurts me, let me understand your plan. Take me to another place, take me to another land. Make me forget all that hurts me, let me understand your plan. Step by step, day by day, day by day. Fresh start over, a different hand to play. Only time will tell, but you know what they say. We'll make it better second time around. Little easy gone, gone. I really wish you'd come home. But when it's time to die, gotta go bye-bye. All a thug is do is cry, cry. While they kill my dog, and man, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. He shouldn't be gone in front of his home. What do they do to Boo is wrong? Oh, so wrong. Oh, so wrong. Gonna stay strong when the day comes. Better believe Bone got a shoulder you can lean on. Plugged version of a pellet gun. Chlorified version of a pellet gun. I ain't got nobody. Nobody cares for me. Nobody. Nobody cares for me. I'm so sad and lonely. Sad and lonely, sad and lonely. Won't sweet mama come take a chance with me? Cause I ain't so bad. Left my nigga's house paid. Picked up a girl, been trying to fuck since the 12th grade. It's ironic. I had the brew, she had the chronic. The Lakers beat the Supersonics. I felt on the big fat fanny. Pulled out the jammy and killed the Putin Annie. And my dick runs deep, so deep. So deep, put her ass to sleep. Bow with the bomb, a dang, the dang, diggy, 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 said the boogie, said I'm jump the boogie. Bow with the bomb, the bang, a dang, diggy, 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 said the boogie, said I'm jump the boogie. Cause if you like it, then you should've put a ring on it. If you like it, then you should've put a ring on it. Don't be mad once you see that he want it. If you like it, then you should've put a ring on it. Reaching for something in the distance. So close you can almost taste it. Release your inhibitions. Feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else, no one else can speak the words on your lips. Humala babala zibala boobala humala bibaba zubaba bop. I'm gonna buy some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a dollar. This is fucking awesome. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a dollar. This is fucking awesome. Mama said, don't worry about your size. She says, boys like a little more booty to hold at night. You know, I won't be no stick figure silicone Barbie doll. So if that's what you're into, then go ahead and move right along. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no treble. Bang, bang, into the room. I know you want it, bang, bang, all over you. I'll let you have it. Wait a minute, let me take you back. Wait a minute, let me take you, yeah. No one, no one, no one, no one. Loop-de-loop. Darling, darling, getting serious. Gotta see the walls over there. Nobody, not no one, nobody, 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 nobody cares about me. you, Criscolo!
Well, you know, I'm not the one with the observer vote who always picks those Japan matches. Don't be breaking my balls.
He came out firing tonight.
Yeah, but I'm not the one who votes for, you know...
Hey, look, you're the host of those shows.
What, of the reaction pods? I am not. It's our good friend, Will. Anyway.
Willie or Oney?
Willie Oney.
Willie or won't he, I said.
Oh, they said Willie. Willie Moscone. Let's go play some pool. Okay. Time for our main event. It is, of course, time for our World Heavyweight Championship match.
Time to play the game.
You're going down my borderline, Crisco.
All right. I promise I'll make this very quick. All right. The night after Judgment Day, where Nash won over Triple H by DQ, co-GM Steve Austin announced that Nash would get one more shot at the world title. Later in the night, after Triple H's match with Ric Flair, Nash came down to the ring and the two men brawled. With Triple H laying on the ramp, Austin walked up to him and said it would be hell in a cell with no whores to avoid the shenanigans. On the 520...
Crisco, you're the only whore I need.
I was waiting for that. On the 526 Raw Evolution.
It's like a cake eating contest when you're involved.
Try to do this. Attack Nash after a match. The following week,
aggressive
on
6-2,
Nash, Shawn Michaels, and the Hurricane defeated Evolution in a six-man tag. After the match, Nash dropped Triple H with a powerbomb. Another aspect of the storyline, none of the contracted referees would referee the match.
Scott, remember when I accidentally created the pedigree when we were fooling around that night?
So when Austin needed to find someone, well, refereeing ended, career ended in the cell at Judgment Day, Tim White at Judgment Day 2002 when Triple H defeated Jericho.
Right,
so Austin needed to find
piece of shit to,
to find someone crazy enough to vote.
I came home and anger banged the shit out of you.
referee a volatile match inside the cell. Enter Mick Foley. My God, who hadn't been on camera since
broccoli and pasta dinner afterwards.
Since it was very good. Since late 2000 and whose last singles match was against
we
Triple H.
WrestleMania 8 afterwards. Remember that, Criscolo? What a night.
You picked a good WrestleMania that night. I was in the mood for Flair and Savage. Inside Hell in a Cell at No Way Out 2000. Austin made the announcement on 6-9, and Triple H tried to intimidate Foley into backing out of refereeing the match because Triple H retired him in 2000. Foley didn't back down. Eventually, he and Nash brawled with Triple H to end the show. Where'd Foley been? Hmm. Well, in late 2001, Foley and Vince had a falling out backstage. Probably talked like he talked to me. And Foley was starting to feel that he had reached the end of the line with his character. On air, Vince fired Foley as GM, and he immediately left the company, harboring some ill will. Mm-hmm. After spending nearly 2 years out of the spotlight, Foley thought things over and decided to return to the promotion that made him a star. What a combination.
It was cool seeing Foley back. I was excited when he came back.
Yeah, he was fresh to me.
Yeah, oh yeah. He had been gone for a couple of years, and he kind of left unfinished business kind of feeling to it. Like, he didn't, I don't know, he weren't ready for him to leave when he did. So it was cool to have him back here. Mm-hmm. I thought he was used pretty well.
Yes.
As the referee. No need for another match in this feud at all. A very bloated gimmick. Bloated being the optimal word. So, Foley back at the ref, although, like you said, all the refs refused due to Hunter abusing them. Foley back for the first time since 01. No heat for the match build, really, other than Foley's parts. And if you remember, Scott, after the awesome Flair tease that he was going to turn on Hunter in the match with Sean, that whole week was like internet overload with people begging WWE to switch Nash out and put Flair in the match. Like, everyone. I remember just reading it everywhere. The push was, who cares about Nash? Look at that awesome match Flair just had with Hunter. Let's get them in a cage instead of another shit Nash match. And everyone's hopes for Dash a week later when Flair turned heel again. But I remember that very vividly, that everyone was really praying and hoping that Flair would get inserted into the match, that they would make enough noise to maybe they'd change things up.
Yeah.
Do you think that would have worked at all?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't know about Foley. I don't know if he was in total working shape, although he did take a few decent bumps in this match, but I don't know.
No, I don't think Foley would have wrestled. I'm saying Flair.
No, Flair, that would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
You'd still be playing the medley.
That's right.
You'd still be playing songs.
So, and I thought putting Foley in the match was a shrewd move, too, so they could have someone to take bumps, because Nash couldn't.
Yeah. First off, I will officially say, of all the colors that Triple H has worn in 2003, I think blue was the best.
Yeah, I thought they looked good. What didn't look good is, what did you think of Hunter's beatdown of Foley on the Cell in Raw, where he took an unprotected chair shot and a pedigree on the chair? Completely pointless for the guy with freaking head issues.
Yeah, no.
Making his return, and he gets bad. Did he need an unprotected chair shot on Raw to put this match over? Is that even in the match?
Did they even have to brawl at all?
Yeah, I mean, no, you can brawl, but you don't need a chair shot to the dome. I mean, that just felt really unnecessary. Just really, really unnecessary.
No, it wasn't needed. It wasn't needed at all. I will say this, though. Foley did get his props by being able to coming out last.
Yeah, kind of that was interesting.
It did enhance his importance in the role in the match.
You surprised Hunter let him have that?
Honestly, a little. I am a little surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised.
I almost forgot that Hunter had entered. So when Foley came out and then the match started, I was caught off guard. I was like, wait, Hunter's not coming out? Oh, wait, here he came out?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even realize it. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was cool props for Foley. I thought Hunter was slimmed down as well pretty noticeably, not as nearly as gassed up anymore.
No, he's definitely trimmed down. He definitely looked like, I don't want to say he looked like he did in 2000. He'll never look like the way he did in 2000. No,
but he was
Yeah, he definitely looks. He definitely looked a bit, you know, a little, you know, water fat or whatever they call it. He bloated at Judgment Day. It didn't look nearly as bad at Blood. But I want to say this about the match I'm curious for your comments, but I want to put this out here first. I understand, and everybody understands, that the match at Judgment Day was a hot mess. Going into this match, though, I said to myself, and even I did it again today, and this is like the sixth time I've watched this match. A Cell match has a certain pacing that a lot of times favors big lumbering goofs. We'd see it throughout the rest of history to this day. Now, athletic guys, you know, the Shawns and stuff, definitely. But when you protect a guy like a Nash, this is the kind of gimmick that protects him. Mm-hmm. Because you expect a Hell in a Cell match to have a more deliberate, slower, more psychological pace than, say, a regular standard one-on-one wrestling match.
But how much slower?
Well, I mean, not like paint drying or grass growing or snow melting.
No, that'd
slow,
be a year later.
That was for different reasons. That had nothing to do with the athletes. That had to do with the thinking, the psychology itself. But I enjoyed the match. I mean, it's not five stars or anything. But
no, we get some basic brawling in and out of the ring early. Hunter working hard to bump for Nash. I thought Nash was trying to move quicker here too and keep the match moving better. He looked in noticeably better shape since the month before. Mm-hmm. You could tell he was trying to work himself up for this one. Gimmick of weapons were really needed here. Hunter uses a toolbox, all different kind of weapons, which I kind of liked.
Hammer.
Yeah, busts out a hammer, smashes Nash in the head with it. Foley gets involved to slow up Hunter, gets a big pop when he gets in the mix. Nash is bloody. Hunter gets his usual cage attacks in, targeting the cut. Uses a screwdriver to gouge the gash. Very violent stuff in the middle here. Nash comes back with a barbed wire sledgehammer, and Hunter just taps a gusher, blood pouring everywhere.
Oh,
Chad talked about this in his previewing. Just Really one of the great bleeders in wrestling history. And he puts on a show here, just gory blood everywhere. Hunter mashes Nash with a wooden crate, which is kind of a funny shot. It's like shatters. Slow
cracks hard too, loud.
And then slow, desperate fighting until Hunter bashes Nash and Foley with chairs. Foley starts to bleed. He goes for Socko Claw. That gets blocked. Nash catches both with the stairs and gets a visual pin. Then we get another unneeded Foley bump where he bumps off the apron into the cage. Nash counters a pedigree with a slingshot into the barbed wire and hits a jackknife for a really close near fall. Mm. Hunter uses the sledgehammer and pedigree for the win. I thought it was a solid brawl. I thought all three worked hard. I'll give him credit for that. Much better than Judgment Day. And so I give him credit to all of them. Orton and Flair come out to help Hunter up, and the feud is finally done with Nash. Way better than Judgment Day. Middle of the road match, 2.5, but I think that's like a 5 for these guys. I mean, honestly, like to go from what they went to even a decent match is a pretty big upgrade. Mm-hmm. So, I enjoyed watching it. Do I want to relive it over and over? No, but it wasn't nearly as bad as you may remember it being or think it was based on the other matches we've seen. So I would, I'll give credit where credit's due. I thought they worked hard. They tried their best. So regardless of what you think or grade the match, they worked hard and mm-hmm. actually built a better match than they did the previous couple months.
Yeah, like I said, I think the gimmick itself kind of helps Nash out to kind of, you know, be able to go at a little more deliberate pace, but not a lazy pace. And I thought I think what made me laugh was the uniqueness of the weapons. You know, the usual chairs and stuff like that. You know, ball peen hammers and screwdrivers and weird looking wooden toolboxes. This is kind of unusual stuff that I did get annoyed at times with Foley because he was like stopping Triple H from using weapons, but even though we're in a cell, and he kept saying, "I'm only here to count to three," and that got annoying after a while. But then he kind of switched gears a bit. There was one spot that really made me laugh. He cracks Triple H has a chair and he belts Nash with it, and then all of a sudden he belts Foley with it. And I'm thinking to myself, "Why the fuck would you do that? Aren't you going to go for the pin?" But instead, he lied there for a minute, so I didn't. Then I realized he wasn't going for a pin anyway. I just thought that was kind of strange, but. It's just good that it's over, and now we look ahead. Who's next? No pun intended. But we find out the next night on Raw what Austin and Bischoff were planning for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Do you think this is better than Booker at Mania? Like, is this your best Triple H match of the second run so far?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely better than Booker. Easily better than both Steiners. Probably his best match since, can you count the first chamber? No, that's not really, that's really hard to
I mean,
compare.
It depends on your thoughts on Armageddon were. It's probably
Armageddon was good. Yeah, I mean,
no, I think it's probably similar to that.
Yeah. So probably his best match since the three stages in Armageddon. But obviously not better than him and Shawn at SummerSlam. That's on another scale. But it was a good ending to the show, and I don't want to say bail the show out, but had this match been mediocre or worse, then this might go down as one of the worst pay-per-views, even with that one, most disappointing. I wouldn't say worst, most disappointing pay-per-views, because on paper, you looked at a few of these matches and thought, well, this might not be too bad, and the stuff all delivered very, lukewarm.
Yeah, I mean, all right show, like you said. Nothing completely stood out, but I mean, it wasn't awful. Short, too. It checks in at what, like 235 or something like
232. That? 232. Actually, let me go back. There's my point again. This was the point I wanted to bring up. You've got all this redneck triathlon stuff, which ate up a good hunk. You've got 8 matches, but at least 5 of the matches are all less than 10 minutes. You have a 21-minute main event, 21:01, and you still fall. If you look at the average per month of a pay-per-view length, you're falling at least 15 minutes short of the average pay-per-view window. Usually a pay-per-view goes, what, 247, 248? And you and I, and we were sitting in, you, me, and McGinn were sitting in your living room, and when you brought it up, and it said 232, and I'm thinking, did they cut something out of this? I'm thinking, they cut the triathlon? Maybe they cut out the whole eating pie or whatever. And then we watch it, we go, no, this is the show. And then I went to Wikipedia, just to kind of get a little background. I always have the Wikipedia open. I won't say what the websites are, but I know there was some backlash, no pun intended again, of the length of the show. Mm. And let me see what the quote is. But and then I realized, yeah, I mean, you have all these matches. Let's see. Both websites, I think one of them was the Torch. criticized the fact that the pay-per-view ended 25 minutes before the original scheduled runtime. That's a bit much. No, regular, even back then, average pay-per-views didn't go to 258 or something. Usually it's about 245, 246, you know, something like that. So, so with all that redneck triathlon that ate up a crap load of time, they still fell, you know, 15 minutes short.
Yeah, you could tell they were in over the head trying to book this thing. They probably all of a sudden realized that they were out of just guys. To fill up the card. But yeah, you could have had some of those matches. Yeah,
I mean, you could have added at least a few minutes to each, yeah.
Well, you don't expect Goldberg to probably go much longer, but the tag match, the tag title match definitely could have went a little bit longer as well.
Yeah, I mean, that only went... that went... Yeah, 7:55. You could have given that match 11 minutes.
Yeah, I think so. Especially how abruptly it ended. But
yeah.
All right, yeah, so decent show. Oh, and nothing special. Definitely nothing special. Probably you know, one you could easily skip, one you could easily watch. It's kind of just a milquetoasty effort. I feel we're going to have a bunch of those over the next few years here. So, all right, that brings an end to Bad Blood 2003. So, Scott, next week we are back here on Tuesday. We're off Monday. Mm-hmm. I've got some work stuff going on. So we'll be back Tuesday with our live watch for the 9/2/99 SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Dr. G, Jason Greenhouse, Aaron George will be in the house. Looking forward to that.
Yes.
Next Wednesday, episode 20 of the Kevin Kelly Show and Main Event, right?
Yes.
Big 20th anniversary.
Main Event. Yeah, we got a very special guest joining us on Main Event next week. Yep.
All right, and the week after that, Monday, we'll be back with Vengeance 03. Finally get to talk about the Master Puppeteer and the Stage of Souls.
Stage of Fools. Master Puppeteer and the Stage. I'm the Reaper of Souls, the Master Puppeteer and the Stage of Fools.
And then next that Wednesday will be our Halloween special as well, 10/22.
Yep.
So looking forward to that. All right, Scotty, we are out. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday night, Tuesday night with SmackDown. Until then, visit PlaysmanNation.com. Lots of good stuff going out at the end of the week. Steve Carino Show with special guest Adam Cole. Check out Andrew Reach and Adam Murray's NBA team preview podcasts for each division, as well as the Bauer Show and the Main Events, the Kevin Kelly Show. Go back in the archives. Check it all out. It's all there for you to enjoy. So for Scott, I am Justin. We're out. See you later.
Maybe Vince would like me more if I did have an Observer newsletter.
I don't think he knows what the Observer is. I think he just thinks Dave Meltzer is just some writer from Yahoo.
Willie the Worker.
Yeah. That guy Willie. Armento the Worker. Or meant to the funeral plan.
Wake attendance.
Don't understand, and you're so after. Step past the shine.